pleasant day evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guest, heard on Voice of Barbados 92.9 FM. You can call us at 4341790. You can send us a WhatsApp at 2534679. And of course, if you're calling overseas, it's 1246 in front. Or an email at cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guest is brought to you in association with our very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture.
Barbados, it's big, it's fun, and it's back. The Double Draw Mega Ball with an extra mega payout for as little as $1. You could be a winner from Monday, April 30th to Saturday, May 12th. All match 6, spot 6 winners with a bonus $5,000. If the red Mega Ball is drawn during the Double Draw Show, or $2,000 if the yellow Mega Ball is drawn. Remember, check out my Barbados Facebook and Instagram pages for more ways to play and win the Barbados Lottery.
All right. Hello to all of our listeners across the Caribbean, of course, right here in Barbados. We want to say hello to our listeners, of course, in St. Lucia as well, on the wave, and Real FM there in Grenada, of course, Vibes in Dominica. And, of course, we want to say hello to all of our listeners there, ABS Radio, KLS Radio, and all the stations across the Caribbean. We want to say hello to all of you, wherever you are, and welcome to Mason and Guest. Lots happening in cricket, of course. We note with interest the criticism of Wentworth Beaton from the president of the Ghana Cricket Board. Boy, he was really scared, and he said that a lot of this had to do with Beaton. And we really want to get some reaction from Ghana in particular as to what's happening with that. And, of course, we also want to talk to Roland Holder in relation to that hurricane relief game. We are hearing some big stars are going to be very much playing there as well. That game is going to be contested, of course, the game of Hurricane Relief on the 31st. That's at the famous Lord, so we're going to be talking to him. A little bit later on the show, what we're going to be doing going forward is to find out exactly what's going across the Caribbean in terms of cricket right here in Barbados. And we want to go to Antigua and talk to their president about some pretty exciting cricket there as well. And we also want to involve the youth. And later on, we're going to be talking to young Carlin Tuckett. Interesting story about this young man. He's going to be our very special guest a little bit later on. But time for me to stop talking. And, of course, say hello to Dr. Ford. And we've got Nikhil in the studios as well. Hello, youngsters.
Evening.
Note I said youngsters.
Evening.
How are you, Dr. Ford?
Yeah.
Are you a youngster?
I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really good to hear from you. All right. I know that Nikhili wants to talk a bit about IPL, but we're going to do that a little bit later on the show. But let's go to Guyana. Sean Devers, the noted journalist, is on the line. And first of all, let me say hello to you, Sean. Hello. How are you, Sean?
Good evening to you, and good evening to everybody listening to your wonderful program.
Well, thank you very much indeed for that. Well, we heard during the week that your president, in office of Bacchus, was very critical of Wentworth Beaton. We know his challenges. In fact, he was called for throwing when he was in New Zealand. Then he went up to England, didn't pass the test. And now he is very much in Antigua. First of all, were you surprised by the criticism coming from Mr. Bacchus?
Yes, I was very surprised by the criticism, especially it was publicly announced. We all know that Beaton has a suspect action all the time since his youth days. And nothing has been done for him in the West Indies. And now they've called him at the ICC level. He's gone to the HPC in Antigua, to the bowling camp. But to have the president of his county, he's the first person to ever play international cricket who played for Essequibo. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Only Kimo Paul is the other one. Sarwan and Mendonza, both from Essequibo, but they never played for Essequibo. They both played for Demerara. So that's one. And he's also the acting president of the Ghana Cricket Board. And for him to go publicly and to say that it's his fault, he's indisciplined, he never likes to hear, he don't listen to people, that's very shameful of him as a president of a board. Even if he had those thoughts privately or off the record, one would have understood. But to go publicly, and these papers are read all over the Caribbean on the internet, and so everybody knows now that his own people disowned him.
Mm-hmm. Is the president getting a lot of criticism there in Guyana for his statements?
Yes, of course. And today, well, yesterday, their girls' team were bowled out for 13. That's the all-time low record for senior inter-county girls' cricket in Guyana. And before he starts putting in developmental plans for the player, he's blaming beating for plans that he never put in and the Guyana Cricket Board.
Mm. Has there been a reaction from Beaton that you know? Have you spoken to him, Sean, Beaton?
Yes, but privately, and I don't know if I'm at liberty to say what he told me.
Mm.
But I've known Beaton all along, even Rayon King, who was quoted in the newspapers, I think yesterday or today, saying that Beaton is not no way what Mr. Backus claims he is. He listens to people. He is receptive to criticism and advice, but he has to know who to trust. And maybe Mr. Backus is not one of those people he trusts, has no big cricketing background. So maybe that's why Beaton wouldn't listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
But with me and him in his relationship, we talk a lot, he listens. I never found him to be any way indisciplined or any way don't care about his career.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about Mr. Backus. I've never heard about him. I know it would interest that you've got some trouble there in cricket and administration in Guyana. Who's this Mr. Backus? Where is he from?
Well, Mr. Backus is from the Essequibo Coast. He is the president of the Essequibo Cricket Board, the county that Beaton plays for. And when Drew Bahadur resigned the post of the GCB president, before that, Ramzi Ali was the GCB president, and he resigned. He has the shortest term ever in Guyana as a president. I think it was just a few months. And then Drew Bahadur took over. He resigned, and then Mr. Backus was the vice president. Because each county board, they've got vice presidents. And one of the vice presidents is Mr. Backus, so he was elevated to the acting president of the Guyana Cricket Board, which he's presently holding that post.
So how did he get that job? How was he elevated? By consensus?
Yeah, no, he was the president of the Essequibo Cricket Board,
right.
He's still the president of the Essequibo. So automatically, if the president of the Guyana Board resigns, what the vice president would take over the mantle of leadership temporarily.
Oh, temporarily.
But it's gone, yes, but this is almost permanently.
What do you mean by that, Sean?
Because the elections they've not had elections in a long, long time.
Yeah, I know that. Could you give us a background to that, though? I mean, you know, it seems as if you've got some trouble there in Ghana in terms of administration.
Yeah, there are lots of problems in terms of the administration, but there are court cases back and forth, injunctions filed. And recently, the Burbies Cricket Board, none of the boards affiliated to the Guyana Board, meaning Burbies, Demerara, and Essequibo, they're all prevented from holding elections because of an injunction which was filed a couple of years ago. There was a protest. And this is last year because they protested in front of the AG office and the Minister of Sport. And the next day, the AG Basil Williams, he said that the injunction, once it's gone past a year, it becomes null and void. And that was 2 years. So the present cricket board got a year extra. And then this year, there was the elections of the Burbies Cricket Board, which was not properly run. So they went to court, and the magistrate said that the elections had to be done over. And it was done over in a proper way. And Mr. Foster from Rose Altong, he is now the new president of the Burbies Cricket Board. The Demerara Cricket Board is still in limbo because there are two factions. And also the Essequibo Cricket Board, they've had their elections recently, I think, and Mr. Backus is the president there, again returning to office.
So you're having some big problems there then, Sean?
Yeah.
You may
and
be...
on the And only recently, mm-hmm. the Guyana Cricket Board held an emergency meeting,
right.
and they nominated the ombudsman. I was talking to Minister Norton, the sports minister in Guyana, Dr. George Norton, and the minister is supposed to appoint the ombudsman, and he told me that he's seeking legal advice on the way forward.
Oh dear. Some serious problems there. Are they playing any cricket at all in Guyana then?
Yes, there's cricket in Guyana. The last match was yesterday. In fact, tomorrow is the final of the senior women's intercounty between Demerara and Burbies. But mm-hmm. it's raining cats and dogs as we speak.
Mm-hmm. So where's Roger Harper in all of this? I mean, he must have some influence.
He's the president of the Georgetown Cricket Association, which, in addition to Burbies, they're the only two vibrant associations. They have cricket, and Roger Harper, the former West Indies vice captain, he's now the president. Well, not now, he's the
president for quite a while now, huh?
Yeah.
How long has he been president of?
About two terms.
So about two terms now. Do you think that Mr. Harper may want to come someday to be the president of the Guyana Cricket Board?
I assume so, but I don't want to speak for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I know he wants the cricket board to be changed also the Burbies board. So the present cricket board, if there's an election, they're in a little bit of a pickle, as we say in Guyana.
A little bit of a pickle. Well, Sean Devers, I'm glad that you brought us up to date what's happening. We certainly keep on top of that story, but it doesn't look good at all in Guyana there.
Yes, hopefully we'll keep our fingers crossed and everything will mm-hmm. pan out quite well for mm-hmm. the sake of cricket.
Good night, Sean.
Good night.
To the casual observer, we've watched Beaton and others over the years, especially with the advent of CPL and more television coverage of our cricket. We've seen bowlers with various obvious deficiencies in their actions. Over the years, what has gone on with the press and other people in your country as it relates to this player, and what have people been saying? Do you think that any effort was made to rectify it? You know, what was seen by the viewers over the years?
Slight effort was made to rectify his bowling action. He's always been suspect, even as on the 19 players, his bowling has been suspect. And I was told that every umpire in this year's regional tournament reported him.
Wow.
But it's when you go to the ICC and they report you, and then the West Indies board is involved. When the regional umpires report you, it's the regional board. But nothing has been done to help him that I know of by the Guyana Cricket Board. Nothing major. There was a video with a phone, and he was bowling against the side screen at border. I don't know if that would be any help for him. And there's no center in Guyana, nor in the West Indies, to test bowling actions and so on. And Sunil Narine, who is the most famous of the lot in recent times,
mm-hmm.
to be tested and failed, he had to go to Australia. I think the franchise he plays for, I think they helped to fit the bill. And this is the West Indies board now. It's past Guyana stage. So I think that Jimmy Adams, the cricket director of the West Indies board, he's saying that there's a process and he hopes that they can help him. And he's now gone to Antigua. And that was the statement. That's the kind of statement that Mr. Barker should have made. We all know that Beaton's actually suspect. But you don't go on the air in the newspapers and lambast the young player.
No, not at all. You have a question, Nikhil?
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Devers. My initial question is, if he was reported by all these regional umpires, and he is, in my opinion, a valuable asset to West Indies cricket in the future, because we've seen Ross Beaton and what he can do, why didn't the West Indies Cricket Board or the Guyana Cricket Board send him to maybe not even Australia, but I'm sure in places in England have clinics where they can improve bowling actions?
Well, I'm the wrong person you're asking that, but I too believe that they should have done some work with him, even if they had to get him overseas, remedial treatment. But I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Mr. Backus could lose his job because of what he said about Beaton?
I doubt it.
You doubt it?
Yeah, I very much doubt it.
And of course, he's got the support of the secretary, Mr. Anand Sanasi, who's a big boy there. He virtually runs cricket in Guyana. Mr. Sanasi.
Yeah, he's the fifth on that.
Pardon me?
I plead the fifth one.
What's happening with Clive Lloyd? Is he still involved in cricket in Guyana at all?
Not really. Since he was the head of the IMC.
Right.
That was the first in the previous government. The previous government appointed him as head of the IMC, who was working for the government with the board, but that didn't work out. And then he was appointed chairman of the selectors when he supposedly was thinking of campaigning against Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as you know, a chairman of selectors, nor an executive, cannot campaign or be a president of the West Indies board. So that nullified him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was given an ambassador role for the West Indies.
And in terms of Clive Lloyd, though, it would be highly unlikely that he may get anything big under the current administration, because I understand he's not a big supporter of the current government. Is that true?
Well, I'm not aware of if he is or not.
Okay. All right. Well, Sean, by the way, how are you doing, though? I know you've had your challenges. Are you good now? I mean, I know you've had a couple of challenges in the last year or two. You fit in ready and everything is going well for you?
Yeah, five years ago, I had my surgery. Mm-hmm. Not 2 years ago.
Oh, it was 5 years ago. That's a long time.
Yeah, 5 years ago. Time has flown.
Yes, indeed.
That's almost normal. When I say almost normal, nobody's perfect.
So right.
I'm about 99%.
99%.
I did the regional Super 50 commentary in Antigua, as you know.
Right,
and,
right.
I'm back to normal. I'm talking about the Antigua Super 50.
Right.
There were a lot of bowlers there with suspect action. And I don't know why the regional boards are not taking up this issue, because some of them are young bowlers and they can be worked with.
Slow bowlers or fast bowlers?
Leeward Island.
Slow bowlers or fast bowlers?
Fast bowlers and spin bowlers.
Any Bajans? I hope there's no Bajans in
that. No Bajans. Okay. No Bajans.
So who would be some of these that I've got my pen here, Sean? I mean, and any names?
There's a guy, an off-spinner from the Leeward Islands, Salmon.
Yes.
And he got
Salmon. Yes.
He's the worst of all of
them. Yes. Anybody else, Sean? Anybody else?
Yeah, Cooper and
Kevin Cooper, yes.
Yeah, he's been suspect action for long.
Oh, for a long time. More than 5 years, for sure.
A long time.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I can remember.
Yes. Well, Sean, I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us as always. But just one final question, though. What's happening to Border? I mean, the last time it was in Guyana, I mean, it was, my golly. I mean, the stands were down. You had the famous Clive Lloyd stand, the Rohan Kelly stand was in ruin. I think there was a Kenny Richards stand was in ruin.
There's no longer Clive Lloyd stand.
Yes.
Hockey department of the club has built a mat, the concrete,
yes,
a mat to play hockey in the area that the Clive Lloyd stand used to be. So it's totally demolished. The landscape stand is almost totally demolished. It's got a sign, dangerous to go in.
Yes.
And of course, the Rohan Kanai stand, that's concrete.
Yes.
So that's still standing. But the ground is okay. They had a inter-county women's match there on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So the ground is good. The pitch is the same, slow boulder. But the ground is good in terms of the playing surface. But the facilities are very bad, except the dressing room and the bar and the main pavilion.
And of course, I mean, you know, you have your national stadium. You know, a country that has produced so many great cricketers, I mean, surely you must be thinking about a Clive Lloyd National Stadium. You know, you've got Alvin Kelly-Turan, you've got Rohan Kanai. I mean, you've got to put a name to that stadium. Sean, don't you agree?
Well, yes, I totally agree. And I've been campaigning for that since the PPPC was in power.
Mm.
And when this government got into power, I said, well, good, time to change. They would have probably named it. I went to the minister, Minister Henry.
Mm-hmm.
He was then the sports minister. And she shut down the idea. And so far, nothing is being done. Yeah.
Mm. I suppose.
But she's been replaced.
Well, she's been, and who is it now, Mr. Norton? Yeah, have you spoken to Mr. Norton? Dr. Norton?
Yes, he says that the person, Mr. Harmon, he's also a minister. He's in the statues and monuments department. He controls that area. And he says that he is looking into it. It's got to go to cabinet again. And I don't see it being named unless it's a political gimmick. At the year before the election, they will name all these things. So I don't see anything happening in terms of positivity in that area.
But you've had to make a recommendation, Sean. What name would you give to them, or names for the stand?
I've already submitted a list of names to the director of sports, who's been very proactive in this. But every time he sends it to the former minister, Henry, she would shoot it down. And most of the people agree that those names, the names on GCC, the minister said that he wouldn't spend the next 4 years defending the names. And most of the names I recommended were already on GCC. Roy Frederick, Clive Lloyd, Rohan Kanai. Nobody would have any problem with those names. And I also suggested that Red Ferreira's name be put on the media center.
Oh, that'd be great. He deserves it. Yes. Yes, he does.
And I'm hoping that it's done before he dies. I'm not hoping that he dies.
Of course not.
The way that these people are procrastinating with naming the stand, he might die from old age at 90.
Last question, Sean. Why did the Guyanese under 15 team have so few fast bowlers? I think there was just one. What's your take on that? The under 15 team that just narrowly lost the tournament, predominantly due to the bowling point. Fast bowlers. They had one fast bowler, I think, and lots of spinners otherwise. Were you aware of that?
Well, but they had more than one fast bowler. There were people who ran off and bowled from a long distance.
Okay.
But the thing in Guyana is the strength has always been spin.
Ooh.
And so we've produced a lot of spinners. We've won tournaments with spinners. But this year in the four-day tournament, our fast bowlers also were among the wickets, which is good. But generally, Guyana is known to produce a lot of spinners. We've got very slow wickets. So a lot of young men are not being encouraged by the surfaces to run in and bowl fast. Most of them turn to batting and bowling spin.
My very final question to you, and just a follow-up to what you said, Doctor. Do you agree, because we had your coach, I think your coach and the manager, he was very critical that Guyana would have finished with the same points as Barbados, but by virtue of getting more bowling points, Guyana won the Barbados won the under 15. Do you support that?
Well, it goes both ways. That's a rule to encourage the development of fast bowlers, young fast bowlers around the region. You're going to expose them, you're forced to give them bowling spells. But if you're a team that depends on spin, your best bowlers would obviously be the spinners. And if you want to win, then you would bowl your best bowlers, which would be the spinners, and the spinners don't get any bowling points. But if the tournament is used to as a developmental tournament, then that rule is all well and good. That rule came in the under-19 because of Ravi Rampal and Anthony Gray overbowled him. And so they stopped the six overs for fast bowlers. Didn't give any bowling points then, but then later on, they added bowling points to encourage the young fast bowlers to be bowling in your team, because Guyana could have opened the bowling with two spinners and won the tournament easily, because we've got lots and lots of spinners.
Indeed. Sean Devers, noted commentator from Guyana, we want to thank you very much for coming through and talking to some amazing guests.
You got through to Mr. Bakker?
No, he doesn't answer his phone. All right. Thank you very much indeed.
Good night to you guys.
Good night to you. Yes.
Just
before we go to the commercial break, of course, I've been trying to reach Mr. Fazel Bakker, who is the acting president. And when he said, hello, I said, this is Andrew Mason. He said, you want, I'm not getting involved in that anymore. And I've not been able to speak to him ever since then. So this is why Sean was trying to say that I really truly was not able to speak to him.
Before you go, I just want to say that one of the bowlers, Mr. Devers, was talking about in the four-day competition how the fast bowlers got a lot of kits. And before we go, one of the fast bowlers was Ray Marifer.
Okay, really?
Playing for Guyana in the four-day competition.
Okay.
He was speaking about the fast bowlers picking up wickets.
All right. Fine. Yeah. That's your godfather. All right. Mason and guests, of course, is brought to you in association with our very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture.
Barbados, it's big, it's fun, and it's back. The Double Draw Mega Ball with an extra mega payout. For as little as $1, you could be a winner. From Monday, April 30th to Saturday, May 12th, all Match 6, Box 6 winners win a bonus $5,000. If the red Mega Ball is drawn during the Double Draw Show, or $2,000 if the yellow Mega Ball is drawn. Remember to check out my Barbados Facebook and Instagram pages for more ways to play and win the Barbados Lottery.
All right. We are, of course, on Mason and Guests. We want to say hello to all of our listeners, wherever you are. And, of course, we want to say hello to our friends, particularly in St. Lucia and the Wave. We want to say hello to our friends at Real FM there in Grenada. Hello to ABS Radio. We want to say hello to our friends at Vibes Radio there in Dominica, KLS Radio. And, of course, here in Barbados, where the show originates on you'll be 92.9 FM. Now, we're going to continue to get reaction from around the Caribbean. We're going to stay here in Barbados. And as I said, a little bit later on, we're going to be trying to link with Roland Holder. And interesting story of this young Carlin Tuckett. We're going to speak to him a little bit later on the show. But for the time being, let's stay in Barbados and talk to the former West Indies fast bowler, Ian Bradshaw. Hello, Ian. How are you?
Hi, good evening, Andrew. Good evening to all of your listeners and also to your guests.
Indeed. Well, I don't know if you were listening to the show. We just had Sean Devers, the noted journalist from Guyana, speaking about Renshaw Beaton. Must be very unfortunate what's happened to this young man, Ian.
Well, I didn't get a chance to hear what was said before, but I would have seen in the press that he was reported for his action.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, he will follow the process of getting some remedial work done. Mm-hmm. Not the first time that this has happened, so I'm sure that the Western Circuit Board has a certain policy, and that will be followed.
Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to a young man? I mean, here he was in New Zealand, looking, of course, to make a serious career to cricket. You know, he's had his challenges before. In fact, he was in England recently and certainly failed the test. And now he's very much in Antigua trying to get that action right. What advice would you give to him, Ian?
Well, the first thing he has to do, Andrew, is to remember that dream that he always would have had as a young man growing up, and a dream of representing the West Indies at the highest level. And he mustn't lose sight of that dream. Obviously, he would be very disappointed now. But he has to believe in the process that will be outlined. He is not the first guy that would have gone through this. And once he is prepared to do the hard work, he may be able to come back sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
I know it is more common to see the spinners rectifying their actions a lot faster than the fast bowlers. So maybe his time out may be a little bit longer than we would have had with one or two of our spinners. But it's not the end of the road for him if he's prepared to put in the work.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hope that he certainly can put in the work. And, you know, he's a young fast bowler with lots of talent. Ian, just we were trying to reach you, of course, last week, and you couldn't speak to us because you were on the road, and quite naturally, you wouldn't want to break the law, and I compliment you for that. But it's good to have you. And last week, we were actually talking about the West Indies' chances in relation to the World Cup. The captain of the West Indies side, Jason Holder, has been saying that they can win the World Cup. You agree with him?
Every team going into the World Cup should go in with that mentality. You don't go to the World Cup just to take pictures.
Mm.
So it's going to be very, very much an uphill task for us. We are not playing very good cricket. Over the last cycle leading up to this World Cup, we've not played particularly good one-day cricket. And hence, I think we are positioned ninth or so in the rankings right now.
Mm.
So we have to do a lot in the short space of time to get some confidence, first of all, to understand what our strengths will be going to England. Going to England, I think it's starting at in May, I believe.
Yeah, our first game is against Pakistan on May the 31st. Then we play Australia, followed by South Africa, England, Bangladesh, New Zealand, India, Sri Lanka. So some big teams, of course.
Yeah,
and of course, I did mention Afghanistan. Oh, I left that for the last. And they're actually playing at the last. So they've been beating us too, Ian.
Well, Andrew, anyone who follows the world, follows cricket, understands that in all the cricket that's played all over the world, whether it's Test cricket, whether it's the T20 tournaments, whatever you call it, there's no more prestigious a tournament than the Cricket 50 Over World Cup. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
It is very much the showpiece for the ICC. They make a lot of their money from the 50 Over World Cup. And so there's a lot of build-up to it. And every team comes to the World Cup ready to play cricket. So it is never an easy ride to win a World Cup. You can't win a World Cup by accident.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be playing good cricket consistently. And it sounds like you've got to play over probably close to 2 months. And that's a long time. I think the good thing for us is that the games are not too close apart, too close together.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some challenges with injury, and this format will allow us to, more often than not, I hope, have our best team on the park. Playing in England may do well with our seam attack, and to a lesser extent, some of our spinners, because we don't have the spinners who would really spin the ball a lot and could benefit a lot from the conditions if they were helpful, like by some of the other teams. Our strength could be in our seam attack if we get some conditions which may offer some early morning movement and stuff like that. That may be a benefit to us and may allow us to pick up wickets in the middle of the innings where we've tended to struggle in many of the one-day tournaments that we've played. So England offers a better chance for us to compete. Make no bones about it. You generally have some very good conditions for batting in England, and I think that will be the case as you get down closer to July. As you get deep into the tournament, the wickets will get better. And it's going to be important that we can put runs on the board consistently. Not 240, not 260. You've got to be looking at scoring 300 on a regular basis, plus if you want to compete with the big boys.
Mr. Rajah, good evening to you. Considering this team generally stays the same, who do you think, especially in the batting department, because we've seen it's been our weakness, who do you think, which two or three guys need to be key in that batting lineup?
Well, we've invested quite heavily recently in Shea Hope.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that she understands how to construct a one-day innings. And sometimes he goes from two extremes. And he's a little too cautious and he puts pressure on himself and who he's batting with in the middle order, especially if that person isn't scoring quickly as well. We've seen what happened with him and Marlon Samuels sometimes. Sometimes he comes out in a haste, you know, and finds himself at 20-yard quickly and then out. So himself and the team has to understand his role, because if he's going to be in the top four, he's going to be critical. He's one of those guys who I expect to be there. You then have to look at some of the senior players and make sure that, first of all, that they're fit enough to play consistently, not just at the World Cup, but in the build-up to the World Cup, because it's going to be important that we have a group of guys that can play consistently from now until the World Cup, so that the team can understand their individual roles.
And what about Roston Chase? Would you get him in, sir?
I believe Roston had a good 50-over tournament, and he stands a good chance. I would expect the Selectors would offer him an opportunity in some of the upcoming series to see what he can do in the 50-over arena. And it's going to be important when we get to our next 50-over tournament, probably in early January as well, that someone like Roston puts up his hand once again and show that he can consistently score runs. I think that would be critical. Guys that can consistently score runs in the one-day game.
Mm-hmm.
It's the bottom half of our middle order too as well that we have to get right. We have some players like Jason Holder, the Robin Powells, the Andre Russell. Those guys, they can be quite dangerous if they have a good platform. But sometimes, once again, they are exposed too early, or when they come out, they don't seem to have an appreciation of how destructive they can be if they give themselves over a tool to get themselves in.
What do you think about Jermaine Blackwood? He topped the averages against the English Lions, and you know, we have only seen him in Test cricket. He doesn't usually set the world alight in our regional 50 over or 20 overs. What do you think about him versus a guy like Jason Mohammed, who had a good start but has tailed off appreciably since then?
Well, it's good that you have guys like Roston and Jermaine putting up their hand and putting pressure on guys like Jason Mohammed, who would have gone off the boil, because you don't want a sense of complacency. If it is that Jermaine can show consistent form, certainly he will be one that we looked at. He's been to England in the Test series, and he had one or two good scores, so going back to England will be a happy place for him psychologically. So that might not be a bad option. But you can't have situations where you're going to get too excited about guys who are only going to score runs once. Mm-hmm. So I need to have guys that will score runs consistently from now right through to the World Cup, so that when we step out there for that first game, we are clear about where each guy should bat and the specific roles that they want to play. So the West Indies Cricket Board will have to make sure that they can find the scheduling right, because it's very hard to get good series now. I mean, you could find yourself playing against Zimbabwe and those guys. You know, you could always pick up a series against those. But we have to negotiate a way to get some series with some of the stronger outfits so that we can really gauge where we're at leading to the tournament.
Would you play Dwayne Bravo if available?
I think, first of all, what has to happen is that the West Indies Cricket Board needs to make a determination if players like Bravo, Narine, Bravo's brother, Pollard, for lesser extent, if the process by which they have communicated with them and with those guys have also been prepared to offer their services is one that they are prepared to tolerate. I think blame can be shared on both sides. And there's one thing that we've learned from all this is that regardless of what happens, the cricket will go on. So there's no one guy that needs to play. I think over the last 6 or 7 years, if one thing we should learn from West Indies cricket is that there's no one individual that's indispensable in West Indies cricket. So if it is that the West Indies Cricket Board can work out with those guys how they can fit into West Indies cricket on an ongoing basis, not just for the World Cup, because it really doesn't serve West Indian people any good to have all these guys come back just for the World Cup, then to be torn again with this sort of bickering and so forth. So there must be a long-term commitment on both sides, where this cricket is concerned. And if that can be reached, sure, I will consider a Dwayne Bravo. Not that I will play him automatically, because I mean, his record isn't one that said he will walk back into West Indies cricket. He will have to come and show some form and so forth and be gauged by that form. But first and foremost, we got to understand if both sides are prepared to commit to a long-term plan, where these guys will be involved in West Indies cricket.
Ian, I want to thank you very much for coming through and talking to us, and continue to enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you, Andrew, and all the best to you and your guests.
All right. Interesting comments. They're coming from the former West Indies all-rounder, Ian Bradshaw. Food for thought.
Yeah, Ian is very thoughtful and, you know, always good to hear him. His ideas and opinions on cricket, extremely solid.
Very
insightful.
Very, very solid indeed.
And gentlemen, I just wanted to let you know that I was browsing the social media last night and I saw a good friend, Darren Bravo, on his Instagram story. He was recollecting the moments of the Pakistan series when he had it in the Caribbean. And he just had him playing some straight drives and they were showing a reclip of it on 10 cricket. So I don't know if that was a hint to the people.
Or?
Yeah, in test cricket. I don't know if that's the hint to the people that maybe he's on the return.
Well, we have to wait and see. 441790, you can certainly give us a call and participate in the show. We're going to try to find Ronnie Sarwan, who, of course, would have played for the West Indies. And, you know, talking about Guyana's cricket, I was talking to him. He's very concerned about, you know, runs for beaten, and he wants to offer his perspective in relation to West Indies cricket. So it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say. We're going to try to get some kind of contact with him, of course. And a little bit later on, we want to know what's happening in relation to the Sri Lankans. They're supposed to be coming pretty soon. And we hope to link with Roland Holder of the West Indies Cricket Board. And as I said, a little bit later on the show, we want to do something different, try and get some of the youngsters involved. And we're going to be starting with this young man, Carlin Tuckett, who would have played here in the Under-15 tournament last year and actually created a big impression. He's the son of Carl Tuckett, who would have played for the Leewards as well. So we're going to try to make that connection with, of course, okay, Ronnie, we haven't picked up as yet. Okay, so we're going to try to make that connection a little bit later on. But really and truly, interesting comments coming from Ian Bradshaw, and he's saying that, you know, both sides will have to give.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, whenever there's a disagreement, we need both sides to come together. And this is something that's disturbing about the Guyana situation and the Trinidad situation, where you have administrators who are interested in the game and in the players and in their development, and somehow feeling that going a legal route is the best way of trying to resolve doing what's best for the individuals you want to oversee. It's an unusual but common thing that happens in sport, and it's so confrontational, it's unfortunate. But I think that sometimes people just have to come together and see what's best for the sport and look at the bigger picture.
But do you think that if we somehow came to a conclusion and brought in these guys, the Darren Bravos, the Darren Bravos, the Pollard, the Narains, would they help us in the World Cup?
From a statistical point of view, I'd say that the only players of quality within that group would be Narain and maybe Darren Bravo. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that if we look at the stats and from a historical point of view, I don't think that Pollard is a good enough player to fit into the
The past West Indies captain.
Dwayne Bravo, if you have Jason Holder, you also have the recent return of Russell, it's going to be hard to see him playing. And then Robin Paul just made his first 100 and is there. They're just not enough places for an all-rounder. So I don't see Dwayne Bravo being factoring into the World Cup discussion at all. Mm-hmm. But certainly, I would say that Darren not having played in the Super 50 has eliminated himself from when you look at the rules that the board has in place. So, but we have to really go with the players that have got us there and the additions. I believe that the only possibility would be of Russell and possibly Narain joining the squad. But, you know, we have to try to develop the players that we already have and see how things will go.
Well, I think there, and Bravo definitely needs to get the cricket under his belt. And I don't know, play maybe the season started about now, maybe play some domestic cricket in Trinidad, then build his way up to some regional cricket when the season begins again, and then go over to play for the West Indies. But after, as you said, after the Super 50, cutting it too close, and I don't think that he can really get a selection in that World Cup side.
Well, it's been clear that just playing league cricket does lead to a diminution of your abilities and a fall off in your skills when you compare how people
and we stay in the franchise cricket as well
and in the international scene. And it's you know, most people are coming to realize now that playing the league cricket just isn't enough. You need some harder cricket. One may argue that our regional cricket may not be the best, but definitely the international scene is where, you know, all the real challenges are there.
Okay, we're going to take a call as we try to make some kind of contact with Roddy Sawan. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests. First call, 43417. And of course, you're calling from overseas, it's 1246-434-1790. You can certainly participate in the show. Just trying to look at a WhatsApp message here. It's coming from someone who is saying that we really don't need someone like a Dwayne Bravo. We've got Gail Lewis Hope. These are players that can certainly take us through. Do you agree with that, Doc?
Yeah, definitely. I have Gail Lewis, Hetmeyer, still Samuel.
Hetmeyer.
Yes, I'm still working with
the youth.
He's a guy that's going to develop. We've invested in him. We have to see it through. Samuels, Blackwood or Muhammad, Chase, Hope, Holder, Russell, Robin Powell, Roach, Cottrell or Cummins. I think Paul will make it. Warken or
Hodge. Think Paul would make it?
Yes, I think Paul is.
You're not sure.
The up and coming fast bowler that definitely has raised his hand. Cummins has been injured recently. He's at the camp. Cottrell was injured recently as well, so I guess it will be a toss-up between them. Do we want a guy who's going to spin the ball like Warken and come back a little bit, or do we want a slow bowler like Hodge, who maybe can bat a little better? I'm looking at a left-handed slow bowler, and then in the off-spinners, there's Nurse and there's Narine. Well, obviously, Narine is better. Again, you know, an international tournament, you know, once you've had your action looked at before, when you're in that sort of situation, are you able to perform and put that out of your mind? You know, there's a reproducibility of an action that once it's ingrained, it's hard to deviate from it. And that's why people tend to be called repeatedly, because you revert to your, you know, the muscle memory. That's a hard thing to say.
And I've seen people take videos and comment on Facebook and other social media mediums that show Narine has been pelting recently. But of course, in the franchise league, you wouldn't get as much look down. And of course, Narine, he's recently been seeming to pull out of a lot of the international tours that we've been on and had in the Caribbean. But I just would like to say that, again, back to your old point, Dr. Ford, I think that with players that only play the franchise game, I think we will see a drop in their cricketing levels as prolonging career. I think they'll only be able to last in their prime, as opposed to somebody even like a Gill, whom people look down on. But Chris Gill still plays the international cricket, and I think it's helping his ability a little bit. When he gets to the franchise level.
Well, definitely the thing we have to look at is that the number of West Indian players in the IPL, which is the standard for T20 cricket, has been dropping. We dominated it for a while now. I think we're down to eight or nine, and a few of those eight or nine don't get a look in there. Rotation, replacement player.
Carlos Bratta hasn't got a game in the IPL yet,
and he's our captain. He's under a great deal of pressure to.
And Kyron Pollard, he's only played six games, and the form just isn't there. He hasn't been playing. And I don't think Mumbai will be retaining him next season because he's the second season in a row.
He's not looking good at all.
Failing at the IPL can be a catastrophic event internationally.
All right, let's go to Antigua now and talk to their president, who's a very, very busy man indeed. Of course, we are talking a man who is always on WhatsApp, not only talking about cricket, but also talking about the promotion. Selling lots of goodies there in Antigua. Of course, you're talking with Leon Rodney. Good evening to you, Mr. Rodney. How are you?
Good evening. Blessed love to you, my brother.
Good, good.
To your audience and to whoever you have in the studio.
Yes, indeed. Of course, we're going to talk a little bit later on about your preparations for that big test match, which is going to be against Bangladesh, because it's my understanding that you're going to be getting the first test, but we're not going to start there. Let's look in terms of your T20 competition, which is on. How's that been going?
Right. So the Cool and Smooth T20 is a situation where the Antigua and Barbuda Cricket Association sanctioned that tournament. Mm-hmm. However, the organizers, we have a very good relationship with them, and they don't do anything without consulting us, and we are very much in preparation mood now. When this started, they had like 10 teams this year. They had cut it back to 18. I believe, based on the explanation, that with 10 teams getting down to the semifinals and finals, it become a little problematic where teams end up with buys and things like that, and they don't want that. So what we did, we facilitated them by saying to them, listen, take the first 8 teams that were in the competition last year. And going forward, what will happen, that the 8 teams that is qualified in the first 8 teams from our Super 40 tournament here will then go forward to make up that composition for next year.
I see.
But it's going good. It's sponsored by Cool and Smooth. And they're the one that won the tournament. We only sanctioned the tournament.
Oh, you only sanctioned. Really. What about the crowds?
The crowds has been going. Fortunately and unfortunately, what happened the first year when they did it, the crowd was massive. I think they had a little situation with the then executive of the Cricket Association the following year.
Mm-hmm.
And they did call it off. When I become the president in 2014, December of 2014, I was approached and I made some exchange with them for the sanction, and I think that I'm quite happy the way in which we have gone about it for the sanction. They outfit all our national teams and so forth. So we have a very good relationship with Cool and Smooth. The tournament is heating up very nicely. Most of the teams would have people, some players coming in from the neighboring islands, St. Kitts, Nevis and so forth. I think this year is going to be much better because the organizers has reached out to an agent, and you have a number of guys that will be coming to play in the Cool and Smooth T20 from across the region.
Wonderful. And of course, you've also got your two-day competition going on now.
Yes, our two-day competition is going on now. It's just second week. The second week has just been concluded. Our Super 40 went well. And the Liberta Blackhawks, I must tell you, they have now won that tournament. I think from the last 10 years, I think they would have won that 9 years in a row, something to that effect. But they have the record of that. The Liberta Blackhawks is really from Liberta. They're sponsored by PIC Insurance. That's the Wilden Cornwall and Rakim Cornwall's team.
Oh, I see.
So,
what's happened to Azaris Joseph? I know that,
right.
But what's happened to him? Tell us what's going on there.
Right. So Azari, as you know, we're down. He started training back here in Antigua with under the guidance of CWI, West Indies Cricket Board, has a trainer here who were looking about him. As far as my knowledge goes, that Azari should be in a training camp starting in Barbados, I think, is on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Sri Lanka comes before Bangladesh. So as far as I'm aware, Azari will be in the training camp in Barbados from starting on Saturday.
When last have you spoken to him as president of the Antigua Cricket Board? Is it Antigua Cricket Board or Antigua Cricket Association?
Antigua Barbuda Cricket Association.
Okay, association.
I would have last spoke to Azari sometime last week. We had week before the last, we had our Super 40 tournament final at his grounds. And fortunately, unfortunately, Azari is my godson also, so you understand this.
He's your godson?
He's my godson, yes.
Oh, wonderful.
So, yes, I would have spoken to him sometime maybe in a week ago.
And what's happened to Raheem Cornwall?
Right. Rakeem Cornwall is playing. He's playing. I know he played for his home team, Liberta, up this weekend. He didn't really make any runs, but he's playing and very much looking slim and trim.
He's looking slim and trim.
Yeah.
Really?
Well,
could you send me a picture?
Considering from whence he came, I would say that yes, he's looking quite good.
Is he ready for selection, sir, in the West Indies setup?
You know, I'm not sure who I'm speaking to, sir, but I would want to believe that Rakeem Cornwall would have selected himself already. Let's forget about the size. I know you sound like a guy who understands that if a slim man can do it and a fat man is doing it, he should be given.
No, I've been saying for the past 4 months that Rakeem Cornwall should be in the West Indies team.
And selected Rakeem Cornwall for A team and so forth. And if you go and check the records, you will see that he was selected to and played against India. In Stinkies, where I think he kind of cleaned up all the top guns. Came back and played against England again. I think he did well. They took him to Sri Lanka. He did well. You know, nearly every time that he would have been given an opportunity, I think it's reasonable to say that he would have passed the test. And you know, if you bring a man in an exam room.
Mm-hmm.
And he keep passing the test and you don't give him an opportunity on the job, then it's not sounding fair. And I would not want to be beating up the drum too much, because I'm one of those persons who will tell you, anybody who knows me will tell you, if Rakeem Cornwall was from Barbados, you would have heard me saying the same thing that I'm saying now.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't matter where he would have come from for me. Once you put a man to the test, he must be given the opportunity. And he passed it. And every time you will accept that he has passed the test every time he's given an opportunity.
What are the Antiguans saying about his non-selection? Are they angry?
You know, I think gone are the days when you're really angry about it. But I think everybody can see. We have a phrase, one politician, one time in Antigua, say, close your eyes and see that the government is doing well. So I believe right now you can close your eyes and see that Rakeem Jimbo Cornwall, given all the opportunity that he has gotten, should have been given an opportunity at the higher level.
Much like that,
whether or not he can do it or he can't.
Mm-hmm. Another note before you go, people like Sir Andy Robertson, Sir Curtly Ambrose, Sir Richie Richardson, Sir Vivian Richards, are they intimately involved in cricket in Antigua?
You know, that's a question that depends on what answer people are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I would often say to people that I know that these guys continue to contribute. Some people may not see them on the field on a daily basis. My excuse sometimes, when a man would have played 20 years and on a cricket field every day, why you think that if it's not his job that you want to, you think that he would want to be around a cricket field for the rest of his life?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a kind of cash 21 situation. I believe that I'm sure that I may get in trouble with this one, but I'm one of the person who really don't care about them kind of things once I believe I'm saying the right thing. I'm not sure that I would want to believe that Viv can coach. I believe he has a special ability that he can probably get people to be this big-hearted kind of player. I always believe that also about Desmond Hill. I believe you need people like Viv and Desi to get in the hearts and minds of the under-15s and so forth. Get them to be big-hearted.
Mm.
You know, some of the guys are not the prettiest batsmen you're going to see, but, you know, once they get this kind of big, strong heart kind of mentality, and the operation can be well, and they can get places. So I believe that the place for some of these guys is just what I've said to you.
So you're saying to me that you don't think Sir Vivian Richards will make a good coach? Is that what you're saying?
I would have said that and get blows in Antigua already and the wage for it. But, you know, nevertheless, that's just my personal feeling. I think that he has a role to play, not as a coach, but to be able to deal with youngsters and put them, guide them in the right direction of being, you know, not being afraid, just being this big-hearted and, you know, the lion heart kind of person.
I see. What role would you have for Sir Andy?
Oh, well, Sir Andy, obviously. Sir Andy and Curtly and so forth, these guys can be looking about fast bowlers. To be honest with you, Sir Andy has a very good eye for spotting talent, and he I would tell you that can I would say that he can coach, and you would want to probably have him as a coach.
Mm-hmm. What about Sir Richie? Of course,
I don't believe that with Rich schedule as a international match, maybe
right. That could be very difficult for him, of course, yes.
Put him under any pressure to do something like that. But what I would say that, you know, once he's around and you have youngsters, you want him to come in on a regular basis once he has the time and, you know, speak to them about the approach to the game and the necessary discipline that goes with it to make you that full-rounded person.
Leon, before you go, it is my understanding that you're going to be hosting the first test match when the Bangladesh team comes. I'm told that it's going to be end of June, am I right?
No, Bangladesh comes to Antigua on the 24th of June.
Right.
The test match is from the 5th to the 9th of July. But they arrive here in Antigua on the 24th of June, where they will have some training sessions. I think they have a two-day warm-up match, and then the test match go ahead from the 5th to the 9th of June.
And the second test will be where?
You know, to be honest with you, I was supposed to get asked you, but off the top of my head, I really was so busy today, I really couldn't just get it done.
But can you confirm there'll be two test matches?
There are two, I think it's two or three test matches, but my mind is telling me two. You know, once I get home, I can send you the fixtures.
Oh, please do. We would want to announce that on Mason and Guest.
Yeah,
it's always good to get a first, you know.
Break the news.
And of course, your call, is it Kumar? What's your nickname?
Kumar, man. Just call me Kumar.
Why do they call you Kumar, by the way?
Back in the days when everybody was rats and all kind of thing, everybody in Antigua would have another name, or what we call a dread name. I'm sure it happened in Barbados, too.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, at one point in time, I was looking for a guy, and I was given his right name.
Right.
Not recognizing that I see this guy nearly every day.
Okay.
You know, and so that's just the reality. So one of my friends just looked at me and said, you know, you're Kuma, because everybody at the time had an African name, and the name stuck. So from that, it's Leon Kuma Rodney, but everybody knows me as Kuma Rodney.
Kuma Rodney, wonderful. Yes. And of course, you got some big cricket in November. You're going to be hosting the finals of the T20 Women's World Cup. You must be excited about that, Kuma.
Yeah, well, you know, our cricket schedule for this year has been very busy from the start of the year, and our association welcome everything that can bring cricket and get people to come out and watch, and especially for the youngsters who are parading on our cricket fields on a regular basis. Now, I mean, our tournaments has been really stepping up over the last 2 years. I mean, it's not of the quality of what it was in the past, but where in the Caribbean, the quality of cricket is what it was in the past, you know. So we're getting there. In our tournaments, we have 10 teams in our tournament. Fortunately and unfortunately, this year, we are now playing our two-day tournament on a zonal basis. So we have two zones that we carry our two-day cricket for this year. And that is simply because time is a serious issue.
Mm-hmm.
There was one time in Antigua where football would have been finished by December, and by January the cricket would start. Now you find that football running all the way into late March, which take up a lot of the field and so forth. Plus we had international cricket and regional cricket and so on. We played our one-day tournament, our 40-over tournament full, because that is about the only tournament that we have sponsored, and we felt that with the tournament sponsored, you must give as much mileage as possible to the sponsors, and hence we played our two-day competition in a zone and format. So we have five teams in each zone. Everybody will play five matches before you get to the semifinals and the final. So I think that is reasonable for what's going on at the present moment. And then from that, usually for the last 2 years, we have what we call a Tri-20 tournament. That now, we're going to have to make a serious decision what we're going to do about it, because fortunately, unfortunately, this year, I think West Indies, CWI Super 50 now comes up in October. And that would have been just about the time our Tri-20, which is an independence tournament.
Mm-hmm.
We usually just play it in front of the date of independence, because we really don't want to have it clashing with whatever independence celebrations that take place.
Mm-hmm.
Take places in Antigua at the end of October, because Independence Day is the 1st of November. So we may have to cancel up our Super 50 this year, our Tri 20 this year, which we had over the past 2 years. The first year, that was won by Antigua. Last year, with Jamaica, Guyana, and Antigua, Jamaica was the winners of that one. So for the 2 years, we had two different winners.
All right. Well, Mr. Rodney Kuma, we want to thank you very much for coming through and talking to us. We're going to continue to link with you, of course, as you get close to that first test and, of course, hosting the T20 World Cup for Women. Thanks for coming on Mason and Guest.
Thank you very much for inviting me, and it's always a pleasure when it comes to sports and culture.
Indeed.
Beautiful. That I can make. Good night to you. Good night to the listeners. Blessed love to the person or person.
Blessed love. And he said sports and culture. I'm going to say that very soon. But of course, we got to go and say Mason and Guest brought to you in association with a very good friend at Bobbins Lottery promoting youth sport and culture.
Barbados, it's big, it's fun, and it's back. The Double Drum Mega Ball with an extra mega payout. For as little as $1, you could be a winner. From Monday, April 30th to Saturday, May 12th, all Match 6, Spot 6 winners win a bonus $5,000. If the red Mega Ball is drawn during the Double Draw Show, or $2,000 if the yellow Mega Ball is drawn. Remember to check out my Barbados Facebook and Instagram pages for more ways to play and win the Barbados Lottery.
All right, so we are on Mason and Guest. I'm Andrew Mason in the studios. We've got Young Lakeel, and of course, we've also got Dr. Andrew Ford, who is with us. We want to say hello to all of our listeners across the region. And we now have Roland Hold from the West Indies Cricket Board. We haven't had him on the show for quite a long time. He's been a very busy man. Good evening to you, Roland. Nice to have you on the show, Mason and Guest.
Hi, Andrew. Hi.
What part of the world are you? Are you in Barbados?
I'm an Antigua.
Just kidding, man. Of course. Now, talk to me. Are you coming back to Barbados, by the way, to vote?
We'll see on the 24th.
Mm. How will we know that one, sir? How will we know?
Well, I think it doesn't matter how you know.
I agree.
It'll be in a good position to tell you if I stay in Barbados or less.
I like that one, bro. I think you answered that beautifully, of course. So, well, we're going to certainly see you. It's a big day, of course, in Barbados. Now, Roland, things are going well in terms of your preparation. You've got that big match, of course, the Hurricane Relief match. It's going to be at Lords on the 31st of May. How are preparations going for that big game?
They're going quite well. The squad has been named. Mm-hmm. So this team actually flies out on the 28th, arrive in London the 29th. Mm. There are a number of media opportunities on the 30th. They play on the 31st and they fly out on the 1st. To those who are in the test, I go to Trinidad, those who are not, then return to their respective countries.
Mm-hmm. And you got a good side. There's no doubt about that, Carlos Bravo. Look at here. You got Chris Gayle in the side. It must be really great to have an Andrew Russell back. You got Marlon Samuels. You've got Young Powell, Young Powell has created a big impression. This is a pretty impressive side, Roland.
Yes, remember, there's as we look to build a 2020 side, more or less, a new cricket insider, some of the regulars, as you would say, those who participated in the two 2020 World Cup victories we had, have moved on. We will be speaking to rebuild a side. So it's a good mix of, a good blend of old and young.
And the opponents, have that side been finally confirmed?
No, not to the best of my knowledge, but the ICC are well on top of it, and we expect to have that side released very soon.
Nikhil, what were you saying? You thought it was...
Well, I saw on the ICC page, I saw them releasing a score, but I will... come to you with that further in the show.
Okay, so because I asked Roland, if that side was confirmed. So when do you expect the side to be confirmed, though, Roland? Time is flying.
Well, for us, it is more or less confirmed. Just waiting on the ICC to complete their initial, their final set of logistics for the arrival of the World 11. Rest of the World 11.
Would you be in a position to give us some names on that squad? We got our pen and paper here.
Wouldn't want to rob the joy of the ICC media department doing their work.
Not at all, not at all. But what do you expect them to achieve from this game, though? in terms of.
Well, Andrew, the idea is, well, we haven't put a monetary figure on it.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, we expect that the funds will be shared among all the Caribbean islands who were impacted by Irma and Maria, hurricanes Irma and Maria last year. And hopefully there'll be enough to have to maybe start a reserve, who knows, simply because in another short period of time, today is the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
So in 22 days, 23 days, we are back into another hurricane season.
Indeed. And Roland, the Sri Lankans are virtually no door now. I mean, of course, things are going in terms of preparation for the Sri Lankans.
Yes, there's the West Indies senior team are arriving in Barbados over the next few days to do a camp.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the batting regulars are in Barbados undergoing a batting camp right now.
Right.
So there's that camp going on. There's a fast bowling camp ongoing in Antigua. The women are at a high performance camp in Antigua. And the A team is preparing to go off to the UK June 7th. So it's actually a pretty busy period for us. And yes, Sri Lanka arrived in the Caribbean on May 26th.
And what about the Bangladeshis? We heard from the president of the Antigua Cricket Board that they're going to be hosting the first test from the 5th of July to the 9th. When are we going to be getting that itinerary for Bangladesh?
I think in discussions in the office, that squad was that itinerary was scheduled to be released later this week.
Later this week, I fully anticipate
that it will be released later this week, and you'll have the full schedule for the domestic home season.
Mm. And can you confirm that they're going to be, what, two tests? I understand it's two tests, right?
It's two tests, three ODIs and three T20s.
So who will be hosting the second test?
Well, Andrew, when the press release comes out, you'll be more than happy to ask me any questions about it. Like I said, I don't like to steal
okay.
the joy.
I see. Funny. Well, I know young Nikhil, he has been very much looking at a team there from would have been given by the ICC. Who are some of the names you got there, Nikhil?
Well,
is that big game?
It's been released by Cricket Info that the side will be captained by Owen Morgan, Tamin Iqbal, Luke Ronke, Shakib Al-Hassan, Shahid Afridi,
mm-hmm.
Shoaib Malik, Dinesh Kartik, Hardik Pandya, Tassar Pereira, Rashid Khan, and Mitchell McFannigan.
Mm. Roland?
Well, you said it's on Cricket Info. I prefer to get my information from the ICC.
I think this evening we heard about Ronke.
Have you heard about Ronke? Can you confirm that Ronke is going to be playing, Roland?
Andrew, I'm not in a position to confirm.
You're not in a position to confirm. But how are things going for you, though? Are you okay? I know you've been very busy. That job keeps you very busy, Roland.
It is a particularly busy period for us. As usual, we all have our challenges. There are a number of activities going on, like I alluded to earlier, the women in Antigua, the high-performance fast bowling camp going on in Antigua, the rest of the world, the charity match, as we call it. There's a lot going on in this month of May, then you're going to June, July. So it's a particularly busy period for us.
Right, indeed. Well, we won't want to keep you too much longer, Roland, because we know you've got to make your preparations to come home to vote. I want to thank you very much indeed, Roland, for coming and talking to us on Mason and Guest.
Thanks much, Andrew. All the best to you and your listeners.
Up and on, Roland.
Up and on. Up and on always.
And Ronnie Clark is in the studio as well, and these gentlemen are going to be voting. And of course, you have to come home and vote, Roland. I'm going to come to you at the airport on the 23rd.
Ronnie Clark is also a combination.
Yeah, he's very much in the studios.
Yes.
Anybody but Man United.
Well, that's my former school captain right there.
Oh, yes, former school captain.
Head boy and set captain.
He's a Liverpool man.
He's a Liverpool man.
He's a Liverpool man.
And he put me to ballot number 11.
Okay. But by the way, before you go, which team do you support, Roland? Are you a Liverpool man as well?
Well, I'm actually a United man.
I would think so as well. Anybody but Man United.
Andrew, I just want to put something here that's only been heard on Mason and Guest.
Yes.
As a young DJ,
yes.
The first client I ever had that paid me for 3 TDK SA60 tapes, one with slow jams, one with disco,
yes.
And one with reggae music, was my school captain, Roland Holder. Wow. And he said they better sound good.
Is that true, Roland?
We're talking 1986, you know.
1986.
Goes back a few years.
Yeah. And of course, he batted one before the roll-off. Roland. You could make the same.
Well, Seth F was a very tough set, you know. We were the best. And he was the captain as well as the school captain. Yeah, so, you know, if Chris Brown batted at 10 and I batted at 11, that says how strong Seth F was.
Oh, my golly. Well said.
And we don't need the singer.
No, we don't. We don't. We definitely don't.
No, we don't. All right. Thanks, you, Roland. We're going to certainly make some contact with you again. Always a pleasure to have you, Roland.
Thanks, Andrew.
Good, good. And I must I must say that Roland is always available to talk to us, like the CEO of the Cricket West Indies. It's so important to communicate, and you know if he's busy, he can't make it. But he's always, I think, he recognizes that importance, Dr. Ford, of communication.
Yeah, you expect that from a man of Roland's background, a commemorian. But all jokes aside, he does an excellent job. Another good source of information, indeed.
Well, Dr. Ford, I just want to say that. What do you make of, it's not confirmed yet, but what do you make of the team? Can the West Indies beat them?
Ooh, it's a tough. So, well, if those are the guys we're up against, it's going to be a tough team.
I see the biggest nightmare.
Kartik is an excellent
The biggest nightmare
player.
Is Rashid Khan, and we know our history with Afghanistan. And
luckily, in the UK, he shouldn't be as dangerous, but I've heard you should play him like an off-break bowler. And,
all the Romans and... Well, he has a lot of variation.
Once you do that, you're fine. But it's a very strong team. Our team isn't bad. I mean, it's a good effort. I mean, we're rebuilding, and our team is a lot better. Still have some positions to work on, but it should be an entertaining match. And once they raise lots of funds for Caribbean brothers and sisters, that's important. Because, as you say, another hurricane season, we're all so vulnerable. And, our economies are... aren't very resistant to these.
May 24th, Dr. Ford. May 24th.
it will be good. But you were talking about reefer. Mm. So you think reefer? You were saying Joseph could be.
No. I think Alzari Joseph could make the World Cup team next year once he's fully fit. Yeah, maybe over like somewhere like Kimo Paul. But I support the fact that in your eyes you see Kimo Paul there, because I think he'll do a world of good for his experience and to have a World Cup under your belt, regardless of the place that you play, how much games you play, just being around that sort of atmosphere is a really good feat.
Yeah, well, it's a whole year from now, so by then, Alzari may have had some cricket under his belt, and I guess they'd want to ease him in. And, once you've had one stress fracture, you want to really make sure that you're fully fit and you come on and we have him for a long time. We need him, and we haven't heard of Shannon Gabriel. No one's mentioned that name for several months on the show, and I wonder how Shannon's doing, if he's at the bowling camp.
And I think he can also make an inroad in that ODI team, because we know Shannon Gabriel, he can bowl. It's no secret that he cannot bowl. He can bowl, and we've seen it consistently in Test cricket, being our headliner for our pace attack.
Yeah, so we do have some options that we have to really look for. For the faster bowlers, and hopefully we'll get that team together in the next 12 months or so.
Well, we promoted on the show that we're going to try and find Ronnie Sawan. He's been very difficult to find, but we've been able to find him. Hello, Ronnie, where are you? Are you in Egypt? Are you in Egypt? We can't find you.
No, I'm very sorry. No, I forgot the phone in the car. I was in the supermarket. Mm. My bad.
Okay, my bad. Where are you nowadays, though? Are you in Guyana?
No, I'm in Florida at the moment. I've been here for the past year and a half. Just taking care of the kids and the wife.
The kids and the wife, in that order?
Yeah.
All right, but it's really nice to hear you, Roy. What have you been doing? I mean, do you still play a little batting ball in the yard with your kids? Or do you play at all? In terms of the cricket, Ronnie?
Not really, but we're trying to throw a few balls at the boys, but they don't seem to be too interested, I guess because they're not in the starting environment. But I'm sure at some point in time they will take it up.
How old is your first son, Ronnie?
He's 5 now. I've been recently turned 3, which is the second boy, and my little girl is going to be 2 on the 28th of this month.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, let's hope that your two sons play the game. Ronnie, you played it pretty well.
Well, hopefully, I'm not going to pressure them. So
no.
See what happens.
Not at all. No, Ronnie, you're away from Guyana, but of course you're still very much in contact with Guyana, and you would have heard the news about Ronsford Beaton.
Yes, I have. I've been following, of course, I've been very lucky to play with him over the couple of years that we have played. I think it's just an unfortunate situation. I think he really needs help and as much support as he can get. So I'm hoping the fact that he's gone to the camp that they have here in the Caribbean, I'm sure the coaches are going to try their best to help him. So let's hope for the best and hope everything pans out pretty well for him.
He's been seriously criticized by his president, Fussell Backus, who came only last week in the press and said he was indisciplined. He said he wouldn't listen to anyone and he blamed Beaton. Did you think that Mr. Beaton should have gotten that kind of criticism from the president?
Of course not. I think it's pretty much easy to blame anyone when you don't want to take responsibility to try and help a young man. But I think what is very concerning, or what people in the Caribbean should be worried about, this is a arm of the West Indies Cricket Board basically criticizing a young man who I think has a bright future still. Of course, once his action gets started out, I think he's going to continue playing. He's going to continue to be successful. Like I've said, I played with him before. I've been in a room with him when we were together at Trinbago Knight Riders. And at no point in time there was any signs of him being in discipline or rude or any sort of thing. He was very keen to learn as much as he could. But I think it was very disappointing from the Guyana Cricket Board president and irresponsible. And unfortunately, those are the sort of people that we have running our cricket these days. And I think that's one of the reasons our cricket is in the sort of state it's in.
Indeed. Yes, many people across the region very surprised by the comments coming from your president. But the whole board seems to be in trouble. You had Sean Devers early on saying you've got injunctions. I mean, the elections have not been held for quite a long time. What's going on in your wonderful country there? Ronnie, you must be very concerned.
Yes, of course. I think it's a cowboy talk. but nevertheless, I think things are kind of starting to take the right path. I guess you've heard... Barbies Cricket Board have recently had elections,
right.
Legal elections, that is. Mm-hmm. And so that was Mr. Foster, won the presidency, who I'm a big supporter of.
Good.
So I'm hoping that he's going to be able to continue to structure Barbies Cricket. And obviously, I think there is a court hearing in a few weeks' time for the Demerara Cricket Board.
Right.
So we got to wait and see what's going to happen, if they're going to appoint when there's going to be elections. But I think... once we have fair elections, I think, of course, I think everything will be streamlined and Guyana cricket should start heading back to where it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think from a broader perspective, I think generally, I mean, we got the same concern in Trinidad. I'm speaking as a West Indian who have represented West Indies in the past. I think Trinidad has a similar problem, and I think that needs to resolve itself as well.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll be able to get those things resolved. I know Darren has been working to try and help Trinidad cricket and his board to move forward and get fair and proper election. That is all we're asking for. So whoever wins and gets in position, I mean, so let it be.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, you are in overseas. You're in, is it Florida, you said, or Miami?
Miami in Florida, Florida is the state.
Okay.
I'm in actually Fort Lauderdale.
You are very much in Fort Lauderdale. Now talk to me, Ronnie. You obviously pay great attention to what's happening in the Caribbean. You must be very concerned, though, about West Indies cricket. I mean, we're now number nine. It's just getting, as they say, from bad to worse. You must be concerned.
Yes, I am. I mean, like I've said many times before, I think there's not a shortage of talent in the Caribbean. I just think it's a matter of we trying to get the right facilities to enhance the talent. I've said it over and over, we need facilities in the Caribbean. I think this is one of our main concerns. Mm-hmm. Or even when I was playing, I don't think we have had enough facilities to, when we get back from tour, to try and get enough practice and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've got some very, very good players. Obviously, I think Shai Hope is not because he's Bajan, I'm calling his name, and you know we've got Craig. It's good to see Kimar playing as well. So I'm hoping that the talent will finally come true. But I think we need facilities to ensure that our players will be equipped, not only mentally, but technically for international level. And I think that's going to be our biggest challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Because once players come out the first year or two, they probably would do well. But I think when people work them out, opposition work them out, because they're so, you have access to technology, and people would obviously, once you perform, people would try and seek out your weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And we need that sort of facility so they can work, continue to work on their game and, of course, enhance it and get better.
Ronnie, when you look into your crystal ball, do you see West Indies cricket really improving maybe the next 5-10 years to be at the top again, or have you got your notes?
I'm optimistic. I mean, to be at the top in 5 years is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've got to really work hard and put things in place, system in place. I think, unfortunately, our cricket has taken over by the politics in the region, meaning by the different cricket boards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that needs to sort itself out for us. They probably should put a term limit on people who are president and stuff like that, because, I mean, it's unbelievable how people are fighting for power. I mean, Guyana is a perfect example in Trinidad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm starting to wonder, what is this on these cricket boards that people are fighting so hard for? I mean, they're fighting for their life.
Fighting for work.
Yeah, you're right.
I read a story in Trinidad with Darren Ganga, Ramnarayan, and a former minister of government who is with the Trinidad, present Trinidad board. Had a big argument, and I spoke to Darren yesterday trying to get some details about it.
Mm.
So, I mean, if you ask people like, and Darren said he's about 7th or close to 8th or something like that,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have those people cleaning out the daylight to run, there must be something there that we don't really know about, and I think that is a cause of concern.
Yeah, we're talking to Ronnie Sarwan, the former West Indies middle order batsman, of course, really attractive player to watch, and he's no longer playing just for this. Kids there.
But I'm still attractive to watch now.
Ramnaresh, you mentioned facilities earlier, and how, knowing the economics of West Indies cricket, knowing what you know about the economics of the cricket West Indies, these facilities, who do you think should be responsible for providing facilities in the individual territories? Do you think this is a individual governmental responsibility? I mean, we've had many new stadia, and mm-hmm. having facilities around stadia would be logical. Or do you think this is a board responsibility? You know, how do we get the facilities for the players in our economy?
Okay, my personal thought process would be to get board parties involved.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, cricket cannot be played in the Caribbean unless the government give their permission to the ground, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Because not too many grounds are privately owned. So I think it's a collaboration between government and the West Indies Cricket Board. And once they can come together and agree, I'm sure government will support the cause of West Indies cricket. I think we've seen that clearly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think once you don't have the politicians get involved in transactions, take over West Indies cricket, I don't really foresee any issues.
Mm.
But what I think we need to do is to have both parties to come together to try and finance it and get on board with the rest of the world.
Mm. With all the...
I'm sure they'll be able to actually find sponsors as well. People will be more than willing to jump on board to help assist.
Mm.
West Indies is not... it's the only sport that brings us together.
With all the great players that we've had over the decades, are you surprised that no players have come together to form an academy on their own and to offer their services and to reinvest in producing players like themselves?
I think that's a tough question. I mean, I don't know people's financial situation. Obviously, we know way back when it was kind of difficult in terms of people getting the sort of money that players are getting presently. But I believe that they've got creditable players who have represented West Indies, probably could reach out to the public or even government to try and assist with the facility, to try and fund it. Because I don't think one player would be able to do it. Or even if the players or past players want to do it, I don't think there's a facility to accommodate the sort of the training and coaching that the players would need. I don't know if you get my point, if I'm saying it rightly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I think government and the West Indies Cricket Board needs to come together, because you don't want it to be a wishy-washy facility. It has to be something that is very modern, and players will be able to access it at any given time. And also, it offers different conditions in different islands. I mean, in Guyana, the conditions are totally different from when you're playing in Barbados. So probably have a rotation system with players moving around. It would tend to help the players could be get himself adjusted to different playing conditions in terms of the surface that they're playing on.
Good evening, Mr. Sarwan. Thanks for talking to us. In Barbados, it's been suggested that by some players playing the domestic game, that maybe a player should be on the respective boards. Do you agree with that?
Sorry, can you repeat that? I didn't hear you clearly.
I said in Barbados, it's been suggested by some domestic cricketers that maybe a player should be on the respective boards. So, for example, maybe one West Indian on the West Indies cricket board, or a Bajan on the BCA, a Guyanese on the Guyanese cricket board, that sort of thing. Do you agree with that?
I would love to see it happen, but I think that's going to cause major problems. Because there's such an internal, there's a battle basically to hold on power, like I mentioned before. I don't think these guys, because it's a holding office presently for West Indies, it's a collaborative effort to keep them in power. I've seen the great Clever try to run for presidency, Mr. Garnant, and they've been pushed aside because they've been offered a little job. So it's a matter of people being manipulated. And I think it's the same situation might occur if players get involved. I just think that you need a whole new group of people to actually take over West Indies cricket and have a new vision and come together and have a collective effort to try and ensure West Indies cricket start to move forward. I honestly feel presently it's just sustained power for God knows what reason. I wish I could answer that.
Ronnie, what role do you think you can play? Would you want to come back to the Caribbean and get involved in the management of West Indies cricket? Is there anything you want to do to help us, Ronnie? We need help desperately.
I am more than willing to help. I've made it very clear to Ghana, one, the present administration is in office, I will not do anything. For this one, fairly and clearly, I've started to sponsor cricket there.
Okay.
If the same situation occurs in Demerara or in Esquivel, I'll do the same. I will offer my service in whatever way I could, whether it's sponsorship or whatever it might be. Teaching or trying coaching the guys how to bat and stuff. The basic stuff, I'm more than willing to do those stuff. Probably next year I'll go ahead and do a coaching program. So obviously you gotta be qualified and stuff like that. But in the meantime, if I'm called upon to help cricketers in the Caribbean, I'm more than willing to do that. But it's a very particular situation because, for example, Guyana, I don't really support the administration that's there right now because they were appointed illegally and I cannot go and put my name towards something like that.
Oh, I see.
And those guys are basically supporting the present West Indies board.
Oh.
So it's like it's a whole system that's been manipulated.
Oh, I see.
So I think once Guyana wins and it gets if cricket starts out, I think it's going to have a trickling effect in the whole Caribbean.
Ronnie, I want to thank you very much for coming through and talking to us. It certainly was a pleasure talking to you. We hope to link with you sometime very soon.
Well, I hope so too. And I'm sure you guys have been reading the papers and see what's happening in Guyana.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. In fact, our very first guest this evening was Sean Devers, the noted journalist, who certainly was very much a part of our program. Thanks to you, Ronnie. Enjoy the rest of your evening with your kids, your two boys, and your little 2-year-old girl.
Good evening,
Barbara. All right. Thank you very much indeed. Time is flying. We promised you an interview with a young man. We're going to go. We talked about two challenges, actually speaking to him earlier, but I think we've now been able to reach him. No? In fact, we had young Colin Tuckett in the line. I know we actually called him, but we're going to try to see if we can sneak a minute or two with him. We've been trying to reach him. Okay, we can go to the telephones. Hello, welcome.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Evening.
Good evening.
Good evening to you. How are you?
This is Carlin.
Oh, you sound like a big man.
Wow, yeah.
Where did you get that voice from, Carlin? How are you, my friend?
Sounds like a big tough.
You sound like your dad. All right. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
Good. Good. Now, the last time you were in Barbados would have been last year, playing for the Leavers on the 15th, and I think you got about 54, playing for the Leavers against Barbados, if my memory serves right, the CWS Oval?
Yes, sir.
Right, indeed. All right. Now, talk to us about yourself. You live where, is it Nevis?
Yes, please, Nevis.
Okay, and your dad is good old Carly Tuckett?
Yes, please.
All right. Now, how long have you been playing cricket now? It is my understanding that you made the Leavers side when you were what 11? 12
years old.
12 years old. But you could have possibly made it at 11, I understand?
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't, I think mummy didn't want you to actually play at 11. She was a bit worried, but you've been doing pretty well, and you went up to Jamaica and you were the captain. How was that experience as captain of the Leavers when you went to play in Jamaica?
Well, it was a little bit challenging, but we got through the tournament.
Mm-hmm. How challenging was it? In what way was it challenging?
Well, it was challenging in a way, like, I need to know, like, which bowler to bowl and which field setting, and I need to work out how the batsmen were playing and other things.
And other things, yes. So let's look at your first year. Your first year you played, you were what, 12 years old then? And you played where, in Grenada?
Yes, sir.
And then you came, of course, to Barbados?
Yes, sir.
And then, of course, you went to Jamaica. Now, of the experiences, did you enjoy playing in your first year in Grenada?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. You made any runs, got any wickets?
Well, I didn't make any runs. I picked up, I think, a couple of wickets, not much, but it was a good learning experience.
Okay. You remember what the pitches were? The pitches were good for cricket?
Yes, I think the pitches were good, but we didn't use them to the best of our ability.
Oh, I see. And what about the pitches in Barbados?
Well, pitches were lovely, nice and flat and good for batting.
And then
we used it.
Well, but of course you like Barbados, so you would have played with the Franklin Stevenson Academy with people like Jacob and those guys. So you know the conditions here in Barbados pretty well.
Yes, sir.
Indeed. And of course, you went to Jamaica as the captain. You must have been quite happy to have captained the Leavers.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm a Bajan.
Say that again.
I'm a Bajan, but I play for the Leavers.
A Bajan.
He's a Bajan.
Tell us about your, what do you think you have to do to make the West Indies under 15 teams in England?
Yeah.
Well, I think that there's an upcoming under 17 tournament. So I think maybe, there was an under 15 tournament, and I think that I didn't do as well as I could with the bat. But I think I bowled pretty well.
Mm. Interesting enough, you played at the under 17 level, and you were what, about 13 then when you played for the
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's a tremendous achievement. I mean, to play with those older guys. How was that experience to play with, you know, relatively, you know, when you look at it, you're 13, these guys are 17 big boys. How was that experience?
Well, I think it was a great learning experience again, and it showed me how, like, the difference of how kind of high level cricket and how higher the level of cricket gets when you reach to an older level.
Wonderful. Well, but you said you're Bajan, and I know your mom is Bajan, and your dad is Nevisian. So you got, you know, a Bajan. Yeah. Dual citizenship there. You got a Bajan mother. And of course, you got a Nevisian father, good old Carl Tuckett.
Yes, please.
Mm. Do you talk to your father a lot about cricket?
Yes, sir.
Mm. What do you say to him, Daddy? Tell me what you say to your dad about cricket.
Well, we like talk about like cricket going on around the world and how I can improve on my game, like coming from a next session or something.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you play a lot of cricket there, Nevis?
Yes, sir.
Mm.
I heard your dad is umpiring. Has he ever sent you back to the pavilion?
Giving you out?
Yes. In a school game, a high school game.
Well, what happened? Tell us about that experience. Your dad is umpire and you're batting. What happened? Did the ball hit you plumb in front?
Not out.
plumb in front.
And your dad gave you all?
Yes, please.
How much runs are you on?
Mm.
Two.
Okay. It's a pity that can you imagine?
Ask for
imagine?
A review.
99. Can you imagine 99?
Yeah.
Dumb in front. Full.
No. Talk to me quickly. Who's your favorite cricketer?
AB de Villiers.
Okay. Why do you like AB de Villiers?
I like AB de Villiers because of his positivity and the way how he goes in and controls the game at any given point.
Beautiful. And how is school going for you? Do you like school?
Yes, I like school.
What's your favorite subject?
I have a 90 average, and my favorite subject is...
A 90 average? Wonderful.
Please, can you loan me some of those marks?
But that's wonderful. And your favorite subject is?
My favorite subject is mathematics.
Mathematics, like Ronnie Clark in the studio. Wonderful. Wonderful. It's really great to talk to you. And of course, your ambition would be to play for the West Indies, one would imagine.
Yes, sir.
All right. And my final question to you, do you think you've done enough to make the West Indies on the 15 side? They'll be traveling pretty soon. You think you've done enough?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And tell us about those stats.
Pardon me?
You say you think you've done enough?
Yes, please.
All right. Well, we leave it there. Of course, next time we're going to talk to your dad and to your mum. And I want you to enjoy the rest of your evening with your 90 average.
All right, thank you.
All right, wonderful.
Thank you for having
me. All right, a big voice there, Dr. Ford.
Yeah, definitely.
Sounds like his dad. The youth of a nation, the trustees of posterity. Well, we thank you for being very much a part of our show. It was always great to have Ian Bradshaw. He was on the show where we heard from Roland Holder. Ronnie Sowell was particularly interesting, of course. And, of course, we also... and spoke to the president of the Antigua Cricket Board. I'm Andrew Mason. He's hoping for Brian tomorrow. It's good night.
Good night to you folks. And there you have it. That was Andrew Mason. We were very privileged to have the opportunity to bring the live broadcast direct from Barbados. And we invite you to be with us on Sunday at 6 p.m. when we will talk more about cricket. We thank you for listening and hope that you have enjoyed the broadcast. The rebroadcast of the Life, Mason and Guest out of Barbados. Good night. God bless.